Today's shiur is the Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Nun Tes, the last daf in Perek Misha Meis. We will begin seven lines from the top of the Yomid with the second word on the line, Ella E Kashia. In yesterday's sugya, which began on Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Yomid, we saw that Shalchu Mitam, that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, a statement, and on this statement they said, "Vizuhi shekasha b'dinei mominus." This is the very difficult halacha in monetary laws. It's a very difficult one, although the Rashbam at the end of the sugya tells us that even though it's difficult, meaning that there is no makor, there is no source to validate this halacha, but nevertheless the halacha remains, even though it's a difficult one. And the Gemara is searching for exactly what that difficult halacha is. The Gemara tried one case at the top of this Amud, which the Gemara dismissed. The Gemara said that is not a difficulty. And now we begin with the second attempt. Ela'i kasha ha'kasha. It's noteworthy to see the second Tosfos on this Amud, Divrei HaMaskil, Ela'i kasha ha'kasha, which actually this Tosfos is not going on the words that we are beginning today's shiur with, but rather it's going on Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis, the last line where our girsa in the Gemara is Ela I Itmar Hachi Itmar, and there in the Masoros HaShas in the side on Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis, it says look at Tosfos further on Kuf Nun Ches Amid Aleph, and this is the Tosfos that we're referring to here. Let's learn it together inside as a hakdama to today's shir. Ela I kasher ha kasher. V'loi gar sinin. And we're not goreis, as we just saw on the way we have it in our Gemara. Kuf Nun Ches Amud Beis. Ela I itmar. We don't say we should learn it this way. Shaharei kol advorim halolu sholcha mitam. All the cases that we're going to try to use in today's shir, that this might be the difficult halacha, they were all sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Umash shalchu zu hi shekasha b'dinei mominus. V'lo yadu al eze davar shalcha. So what Tosfos understands in this whole sugya was that a number of statements were sent, and we're going to have various cases in our Gemara, and the Gemara is going to think that maybe each one is that difficult case. The Gemara didn't know which one the B'nai Eretz Yisrael were referring to when they said this is a very difficult case which doesn't have a proper source. It has a question to it, even though the halacha is like that, and we don't have a source. So therefore, Tosfos says, even the first case, if you look through the sugya, you'll see that all the other cases the Gemara gives begins with the words which we're starting our shir with, Ela'i kasha ha'kasha. But Tosfos says that even the first time, the first attempt in yesterday's shir, Ela'i itmar should not be Ela'i itmar, but Ela'i kasha. In other words, if you learn Ela'i itmar, it means that the Gemara is like changing the question and forming the question. It's not the way you thought the question is. There's a mistake, and it really should have been written this way. Tosfos says that's not the case, but rather, all of these cases, the way they're written, were sent from Eretz Yisrael. On one of them, there was a difficulty, and the Gemara is trying to go through each case and see perhaps that's the case which has the difficulty, although, as we mentioned from the Rashbam, the halacha remains like that case. So now we are starting the second attempt, Ela'i kasha ha'kasha. You know which one, the way Tosfos learns, which one of those statement sent from Eretz Yisrael is the one that has on it a difficulty, it's this case. Ben b'chor shemachar chelik b'chora b'chaye aviv. If there is a son who is a b'chor, let's say Reuven ben Yaakov, he's the b'chor of Yaakov, and he sold we know a b'chor gets a double portion, so assuming that he was going to outlive his father and inherit that extra portion, it's roi, as we've had in the Gemara many times, it's roi for him to get this chelik ha-bechayra. but he never actually has received it. And in fact, he's going to die before his father Yaakov. But in the lifetime of Yaakov, Reuven the Bechor sold his chelik Bechora, Bechai Yavim, the lifetime of Yaakov, and then Umes Bechai Yavim, then Reuven died in the lifetime of his father Yaakov. So the din is that Benoi, his son Chanoch, Motsi Miyad Lekuchas, from that sale that his father Reuven made, Chanoch is able to go over and take out those Nechasim, those properties, from the hands of the Lekuchas. As the Rashbam brings down, that the halacha is that even if the Bechor dies in the lifetime of his father, the grandson is able to inherit those nechasim from the grandfather. As we learned before, the Rashbam brings down, and the Kuf Tazayin Amid Beis, we learned this halacha from the Bnei Slavcha, because they took three portions instead of their father. The first portion, the Rashbam brings down, was Shoyaroy Lavien, Shoyam Yoytze Mitzrayim. He was one of the people that left Mitzrayim, so he was able to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Bach quotes the rest of the Mishnah, which is missing here in the Rashbam. V'chelkoy im echov b'nichse chefer, and also they divided up the brothers, the Tzlofchad with his other brothers, get a chelik of chefer, the father. Tzlofchad is the son of chefer. So Chefer was from Yoytze Mitzrayim. He also gets a portion, and that's divided up amongst the brothers. So when Slavchad dies, the daughters of Slavchad, the Bnei Slavchad, get that chelik of Slavchad in the nechasim of Slavchad's father, their grandfather, Chefer. And finally, as the Rashbam concludes, Ushahoya Bechor v'naitel shnei chlokim. Slavchad was the Bechor, so he gets two portions. A double portion, as the Rashbam points out over there on Kuf Tazayin Amid Beis, that in fact, Slavcha died before Chefer. And Afal Pikein, we see that the Bnei Slavcha, who were awarded the property of their father Slavcha, received that chelik of the Bechayra. So we learn out from the Bnei Slavcha this halacha, that even if the Bechayra dies in the lifetime of the father, the grandson, once the grandfather dies, he can get the chelik b'chayra that his father was entitled to, he can get that from his grandfather. So therefore, the grandson, in our case, Chanoich, is able to go over to Lekuches and get back that piece of property that his father sold. And on this, the Gemara says, v'zuhi shekasher b'dinei mamonis, this must be that one case of all the cases that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael sent to Bavel, on which the Bnei Eretz Yisrael said that this is a very difficult halacha in Dinei Mamonos. What's so difficult about it? As the Gemara proceeds to say, Avua Mazbin, the father sold it, Iyu Mapik, and the grandson now is going to take it away. Reuven sold this Chelik HaBechayra, and now Chanoich is going to take it away from the Lekuchos. And says the Gemara, V'chitein, and if you're going to tell me, Hochanami, here also, Amar, that Chanoich can say, there is no kasher. Just like we had in the top of the Amud, in yesterday's shir, we said that the case was not about Bechayra, but rather it was a simple case of Ben Shemachar Ben Nichsei Aviv Bechaye Aviv Umeis, if Reuven sold not the Bechayra, but Reuven sold the Chelik HaPashet, the regular Yerusha that he was supposed to get from his father. But he died after he sold it to Lekuchos, he died before his father. So Benoi, his son Chanoich, is Maitzi Miyad Lekuchos. And we thought that that was the Zui Kasher B'dinei Mamonos. Because they could say, Avucha Mazbin V'at Mapik. And on that, we gave a teretz, what's difficult? It's not difficult. That's not the case that's difficult. Because they yarshin directly. The Chanoich, the grandson, yarshins directly from the grandfather Yaakov, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, Mem Hei, Tachas Avaisecha Yiyu Banecha, that your children will be instead of your ancestors. In other words, your grandson will be in the place of the grandfather. He will yarshin directly from the grandfather. So if so, there's no taina from the lokeach. Your father sold it to me, and now you, the grandson, you, the son of the father who sold it to me, you want to come and take it away from me? The answer is, of course I can take it away from you, because my father had no right to sell it. I am yorish this directly, not through my father. If I was going through my father, then you could have a taina. Your father sold it and you're taking it away from us. I'm not going through my father. I'm going directly, I yarshin, from my grandfather directly, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, that tachas avasecha yubanecha, that the grandchildren are instead of the grandparents. They get a direct yerusha from the grandparents. So maybe in this case also, in the second attempt of Bechoro, we're trying to give we're trying to say, you know what's the din kosher that B'nai Eretz Yisrael sent? That's the halach of Bechoro. So maybe we'll say the same thing. V'chitei mochanami omar, mikoich avudah b'kosina. That Chanoch can say, I'm not getting it from Reuven, where you would have a taina on me, avuch maz ben vat mapik. I'm getting it directly from my grandfather Yaakov. But that can't be, because imi koyach avu da'abe koasya, if you're getting it from your grandfather, b'chelik b'chay remay avidite, what shaychis do you have, as the Rashbam says, v'aloi ain't cho b'choyer, you are not a b'choyer, only your father Reuven was a b'choyer. So obviously, as far, even if I say on the chelik pashit, that based on the pasuk of Tachas HaVasecha Yubanecha, you're getting it directly from your grandfather Yaakov, but concerning the Bechor, since you're not a Bechor, then obviously you're getting it only Mikoyach Reuven. If you're getting a Mikoyach Reuven, then in fact the Lokech can say, Avuch HaMazbin, your father Reuven sold the Bechor, Va'at Mapik, and you're now going to take it away from us. So Lechor, we have found the case that is very difficult in Dine Mamas. The Gemara says, no, it's not difficult. Umay Kusha. Dilma Motzi Omar, maybe Chanoch can say, Mikoyach Avud Abakasin, based on the pasuk of Tachsav Esecha Yubanecha, I am coming from the power of my father's father, my grandfather, but not that I'm getting the Bechaira through Reuven from Yaakov, but rather Ubimakom Avka Imna. I am standing in the place of my father. In other words, the Gzeirus HaKosuv in Tehillim of Tachas HaVesecha Yubanecha is telling us that Chanoch replaces Reuven. He's not getting it because he's a son of Reuven, through Reuven, because then you'd have the taina, the kasha of Avucha Mazbin Vat Mapik. No, he's getting it as if he's Reuven. And just like Reuven is a Bechor, the Gzeirus HaKosuv is saying that Chanoch now is considered as if he's Reuven, he is the Bechor. So he's not getting it through his father, he's getting it because he replaces his father, and it's as if he's Reuven, the Bechor. Maybe that's the pshat in the Gzeirus HaKosuv of Tachas HaVasecha Yubanecha. I'm a male, there's no kasha of Avuch HaMazbin Vat Mapik, because I'm getting it directly from my grandfather, Yaakov, even the Chelek HaBechor, not only the Chelek HaPashit, but even the Chelek HaBechor. Ella says the Gemara, Ikasha HaKasha. Again, the way Tosfos was learning, it's one of the other statements that was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is the one that the B'nai Eretz Yisrael were referring to when they said that this is the Zuhi Shekasha B'dinim Mamas. What's the case? Hoya Yoidei Eloyedis. If Reuven knew some testimony about Shimon, Bishtar, he had signed a shtar concerning a monetary matter, which concerned Shimon. And when did he sign this shtar? Actually, Nasa Gazlan, before he, Reuven, became a Gazlan, and then the Nasa Gazlan. And then he became a Gazlan, and now Bezdin wants to see whether this is a valid shtar or not. The halacha is, who ain't I made a ksav yad, even though normally a person can testify. He can validate a shtar, that this chesima, this signature on the shtar is his. But since he's a Gazlan, as Rashbam brings down, Divri HaMaskel V'Achach Nasa Gazlan, he becomes Posulatus, as the Pasuk says in Shmoy Yisrov Gimel, Al Toshis Yotchim Rasha L'Yoseit Chamas, that a Rasha, somebody who does an Avera, a Gazlan, is possible to be an aid. And therefore, the Rashbam says, even though normally, as we find in Ksubas Tav Chaf Amud Beis, a person is believed to say, this is Ksav Yadi, but now, since he became a Gazlan, he's not a believed. And we suspect that maybe somebody else forged his signature, or it is his signature, but he forged the date on it. The date of the shtar is made out to before he became a Gazlan, and actually he signed it today when he already had become a Gazlan, and therefore it's possible. So we don't trust him. So he's not allowed to testify on his signature. Or as the Marshal on the side in the Mesor Shoshah says, Yecholim l'kayim ksav yari. Others can testify on his behalf and say that yes, this is his signature. And this is the item that's kasha b'dinei mamonos, as the Gemara will now ask. Hashta iu loy mehemen achrini mehemni. As the Rashbam says, four lines after it gets wide. Ukishemakirin chasi masoi ma anu marvichim mekach v'aloi shem apostolu. What do we gain that others are testifying that yes, this is his signature since he's a Gazlan? So even if they verify that this is his signature, we know that you can validate a shtar. Either the person says it's my own signature, or other Adam can testify it's his signature. But in this case, since now, presently, when we want to act upon the shtar, he is already a known Gazlan. He is Pasul Adis. So it doesn't help us that others recognize that it's his signature, because again, we have the problem that maybe he signed it after he became a Gazlan. The Adam are just validating that, yes, it's his signature. Our question is, when did he sign it? If he signed it after he became a Gazlan, it doesn't help us that others recognize that it's his signature. And yet you're saying they are believed. This is a very difficult halacha in Dinei Mamonos. Vizui Shekasha, but Dinei Mamonos. Ask the Gemara, my kusha. This is also not difficult. Why? Dilma, maybe this case is speaking about, kugoin shehuchsak ksav yari bebezd. Rashi learns, and this is, the Rashbam learns, five lines after it gets wide at the bottom, kugoin shehuchsak behenpik bebezd. Bezdin gives out a henpik, which is a validation of a shtar. Once Bezdin finds out and verifies that this is in fact the signature of the Edom, they give out a piece of paper, which is called a henpik, attesting that this is a validated shtar. And Rashbam says that when was this henpik written? Beterem hayoytze gazlan, before he became a gazlan. Dahash telekele meimer hachi, ella elu me'idin, Shechosmu behenpik ze vekimu hashtar mikamidavi haygaver gazlan vahi shaita hoyehu atzmai nemelam ezek saviyadi. Since there's a henpik, and the henpik is written on a date that preceded his becoming a gazlan, so at that time, let's say February 1st, he became a gazlan. The henpik is attached to the shtar for January 1st. And the judges now, that's how the Gemara is learning when it says that Acherim Yecholim L'Kayim, it's speaking about that they're validating not his Ksavyad, but they're validating their own Ksavyad. Yes, we are the Dayanim who signed this henpik, which is dated January 1st, so that preceded him becoming Gazlan on February 1st. And they're validating that the signatures that are on this shtar are, in fact, the signatures of this person, and this person at that time was not a Gazlan. And therefore, it would be a good shtar. That's how the Rashbam learns. Tosfos and Divrei HaMaskil Kegoyin Shehuchsak Ksav Yad HaBezdin brings down the Rashbam's pshat, but Ve'ein Nir L'Ri. Why? The Inuch Dayanim Gufayu miloy matzilamiti by hu gavri gazan hu loy. Share ein choismen alachsimus aedim. Vafilamasha bishtarin shrich madayam likrois. So Tosis asks on Rashi, that Rashi saying that the henpik was before he became a gazlan. But in fact, There's no stress in Rashi, which is the goal, as we'll soon see that Tois is looking for. There's no stress that it was known to the Dayanim that this henpik was issued, in fact, before he became a Gazlan. They don't remember. They're just basing it on the henpik. Now, if you're questioning the nemonus, the trustworthiness of this witness, what does it help you that there's a henpik? Perhaps he falsified the henpik. He falsified the date on the henpik. And he made it that the henpik was written before he became a Gazlan. So automatically, the shtar is good. It's his signature, and it's his signature before he became a Gazlan, and the Bezdin is testifying that it's his signature. But Taisa says, when you write a henpik, the Dayanim don't even have to look at what's written in the shtar. And they're not concentrating on when they signed the henpik. If they don't remember when they signed the henpik, the fact that there's a henpik doesn't help us. So that's why Tosfos learns, Elahachi Perushai, Huchzik Savyadi Bebezdin, says Tosfos, Sharo Bezdin Savyadi Koidim Shanasa Gazlin, Delekala Meimer Shalachika Chosab. Ah, Tosfos says, don't approach this sugi with the power of henpik. That won't help us here if we're choshed that he's a lawyer, that we can't trust him anymore. How do we know the accuracy of exactly when this henpik was issued? Unless we say that the Dayanim say, oh yes, we remember precisely this, for some reason, something happened on that day, and by association we remember that we signed this henpik, certainly we have no question, or without a henpik even. Even if we didn't sign a henpik, but we know that this signature was on the shtar, and it took place before he became a Gazlan, we're certain about that, we remember 100%. So then, once we know for sure that it was signed before he became a Gazlan, and at that time he was not a Gazlan, so then it is a validated shtar. Then the chesima of the aid is a valid chesima, and we can proceed to use this shtar. So if that's the pshat and huchzik savyari bebezin according to Tosfos, Tosfos doesn't want to stress henpik, Tosfos wants to stress the memory that it was signed before he became a Gazlan. If so, if it was signed before he became a Gazlan, again, there's no kasha. That's why he's not allowed to say anything today, because he's testifying on his ksavyad after he became a Gazlan. We don't trust him anymore. He's an eid chomus. We can't take him as a witness even for his own ksavyad. But if Bezdin independently can verify that this was signed for sure before he became a Gazlan, so then that's why Acherim could be Mayid. This is his signature, and we remember that it was done before he became a Gazlan. So again, that's not Kasha, if it's speaking about such a case. Ele'i Kasha, if there is a Kasha, HaKasha, we're going to try another one of the cases that was sent from Eretz Yisrael. Hoye yodei loy edus b'shtar, ad sh'loy tipa loy b'yerusha. So the case, as the Meforshim explain, is that Reuven signed on a shtar that was negeya to Shimon, and he was a distant relative of Shimon. He never expected to in any way inherit from Shimon. And then, as it turns out, if this is a good shtar, and let's say Shimon bought this property from Levi, so then when Shimon dies, if it's a valid shtar, then Reuven will inherit. The way it turned out is that all the other relatives also perished, and he's next in line. So when he signed it, there was no negius on his part. He never expected to get it. But now, there is negius. So who ain't yochel l'kayim ksav yadi? Today, since he's a negeya bedover, since he will benefit, if it's a valid shtar, he will come out to inherit this property that the shtar says was sold to Shimon, he will come out to inherit it from Shimon. So he cannot testify on his own signature. Others can say, yes, this is his savyad. And this will be the item which is kosher b'dinei mamonos. Because if he is not believed, how can others be believed? So the Gemara says, how can others be believed, as we said before? Because once we suspect that he's not saying the truth, because he's Negea Bedover, so maybe he falsified the date, that the date should come out to before he had a Negeas. So what will it help us that others say, yes, it's his signature, but maybe he signed it at a time when he was already Negea Bedover? Umay Kusha, what is difficult about this? Maybe according to Rashbam, there's a henpik. Maybe according to Tosfos, we remember clearly that he signed it before he had a negius. There were still other relatives living, and he would not have yarshined it. So just like we gave that answer before, this will apply to this case as well. Ella, we're going to try again. Ikasha hakasha. This is the case which the Bnei Eretz Yisrael sent to Bavel, which is the hardest din in Dini Mammon, is why does it work? What's the case? He signed on a shtar before the person in the shtar became his son-in-law. And then he became the son-in-law of the person in the shtar. So who einoy meyid al ksav yada? He cannot testify. He's a relative. And if he says, this is my signature, this will help his father-in-law. And since he's a karev, he is not allowed to testify on his own ksav yad. Aval acherim meyidin. Others could be meyid. So the question is, why is this kasha shabadine mamnis? Who loy mehemen acherini mehemni? And the Gemara's Havamina was that the psul of being a karev, of having a father-in-law and a son-in-law relationship, is one of a chashash meshaker, that maybe because you're a relative, you will come to lie. So then we have the same question. Since we suspect him of lying, what does it help if somebody else validates that this is his signature, but maybe he signed it after he became a son-in-law and not before he became a son-in-law? If you're going to give the same teretz on this kasher, and you're going to say it's not a kasher shebedinim mamnis, because we have a simple teretz, that Bezdin remembered that it was signed before he became a son-in-law. V'amar Rav Yosef bar Menumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef bar Menumi, said the name Rav Nachman, afal pi shaloi huchsek ksav yad bebezdin. On this specific case, Rav Yosef bar Menumi said in the name of Rav Nachman that it's speaking about even if the Bezdin did not remember that he signed it before he became a son-in-law. So this is kasha. If he's not believed because maybe he's lying, since he's a relative, so how can we believe somebody else that this is his ksav yaday? Maybe he wrote it after he became a son-in-law, and he predated it to before he became a son-in-law. So why does it help if somebody else says it's his signature? Says the Gemara, my kasha. If that's the problem with this case, that's not a question either. Dilma gzeiras melechu. Why do you look at the psul of kurva because of shash meshaker? Maybe it's a gzeiras akasev. The iu loy mehem and vacherini mehem nivelav mishum de meshaker. Your thesis of the psul of kurva is because of shash meshaker. Perhaps that's wrong. It's not shash meshaker. It's exeris akasav that a karev is possible. So einechanami, I can't testify today, once I'm a son-in-law, I can't testify that this is my ksav yaday, because I'm a karev, I'm possible, but somebody else can testify. The reason I'm not believed is not because maybe I'm lying. The reason is it's exeris akasav. But if somebody else testifies that this is my signature, we'll accept it, and we're not choshish that maybe I wrote it after I became a son-in-law, and I predated it to before I became a son-in-law. So what's so difficult? And I'll bring you a proof that the psul of kurv is not because of chash meshaker, but rather it's because of exeris akasav. Diloy te mahachi, if you're not going to say that it's exeris akasav, and you're going to say it's because of chash of lying, Moshe v'Aaron l'chaisna, Moshe to his father-in-law, and Aaron to his father-in-law, they're not allowed to testify. Are you going to say Mishum Deloy Mehemniu? Who's more trustworthy than Moshe and Aaron? So it can't be because of the Chashash Meshach. And yet the Torah says that Moshe to his father-in-law and Aaron to his father-in-law can't testify. Alexeris Malach Ushlo Ya'idu Lahem. It must be Moshe and Aaron Pasul because it's Exeris Akasiv. Achinam Exeris Malach, it's Exer of Hashem. It's not a Bechshash Meshaker. Shlo Ya'id Al Ksav Yadi L'chasnei. For the benefit, L'chasnei means for the benefit of his father-in-law, the son-in-law is not allowed to testify that this is my signature, but others can testify that it's his signature, and we're not worried that maybe he wrote it after he became a son-in-law and he predated it to before he became a son-in-law. So it comes out that in all the cases that we've tried on this Amud to say, Zuhi Shekasher B'dinei Mamonos, all of them have an explanation why it makes sense. It's not difficult. So now the Gemara says, Elolam Kidamrina Mikara. We're going to go back to the first case at the top of the Yomid, which we learned in yesterday's shir, and that is the case on the first line of the Amid, Ben Shemachar Benichse Aviv Bechaye Aviv Umeis Benoy Maitzmiyat Alekuchais. That Reuven sold the chelik that he was supposed to get to Yarshin from his father Yaakov in the lifetime of Yaakov, and then Reuven died. So his son Chanoch, the grandson of Yaakov, can take it out of the Lekuchos. That is the case. That's the kasha. Udika kashalach. But you had a question on the question. Now, as you were trying to give an answer, that it's not difficult. You were trying to say, Takas avisecha yubanecha. We have the pasuk in Tehillim that a grandson yarshins directly from a grandfather. He doesn't go through, Chanoch doesn't go through Reuven, but rather Chanoch gets it directly from Yaakov. So therefore, the lokeach cannot say to Chanoch, Avucha mazben va'at mapik, your father Reuven sold it to me, and you're taking it away, because I'm not getting it through my father Reuven. I'm getting it direct from my grandfather Yaakov, and therefore it's not a kasha. That's what you asked. No, hahu bebrachiksev. That pasuk in Tehillim is not a pasuk from which you can learn out any halacha in Hilchos Yerusha. It could be that, in fact, Chanoch gets it through Reuven. And therefore, it is kasha. The lekeach can say, Avucha mazmin va'at mapik. Your father sold it to me, and you're only getting it through your father. I, the pasuk in Tehillim, that's a bracha. That's a drasha. It's not halacha. It's a bracha. What's the bracha? As the Rashbam says over here, Shat Tzadikim, the last Rashbam on the Yom, Shat Tzadikim, Yeshlem, Bonim, Ubnei Bonim, Liyarsham, as the Pasuk says at the end of that Pasuk, Tachas Avisech Yubanecha, the Pasuk concludes, Tishisei Moy Lesorim B'chol Oretz. They will be placed as princes throughout the land. As the Tosis, last Tosis on Dhammit says, Vashmin in Krosha, Yiskat Sadik Labonim Kamoisai. He'll get children, and as the Rashbam says, not only children, but grandchildren like him. That's a bracha that I'll get. But in terms of halacha, of Hilchos Yerusha, whether the grandson gets it directly or from the grandfather or he gets it through his father, that the Pasuk is not addressing. In fact, I'll tell you that the grandson is getting it only through Reuven. And therefore, the Lekeach has a problem. He says, Avucha mazmen v'ad mapik. And yet I say, it doesn't matter. The halach is that moitzim mal lekuchos. If so, we don't have a source why he should be able to do it. And yet, that's the halacha. And that's why this is the case. Zuhi shekasha bedinei mamonos. Ask the Gemara, Umi matzis amrat. Bebrachak siv. How can you say that that pasuk in Tehillim is only giving us a bracha as we turn to Daf Kuf Nun Tesamet Beis? Aval in Yindina Loi. But concerning a halach of Hilchos Yerusha, I don't have a makor that a grandson gets it directly from a grandfather, and yet I'm going to say that a grandson gets it from his father, Reuven, and that's why it's a Dover Kasha. Because that whole pasuk in Tehillim is only a bracha. We have here Vatanya, but on the side, right next to the first word on the Amud Aval, we have in that margin, vertically, it says, the Masar Sashas puts in, Sarach Leimer, Vahatnan. We learned in the Mishnah, on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the following halacha. And in fact, that's the Rashbam. in yesterday's sugya, at the beginning of this sugya, points out that the reason we're bringing this whole inyan of Shalchu Mitam and going through this whole Shakla V'Tarya is because a reference is made to this Mishnah which we learned recently on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to try to prove from this Mishnah that in fact a grandson does get it directly from the grandfather, and if he gets it directly, then again, it won't be the Davar Kasha. If we're, as the Gemara is going to conclude, we're going to slug up the Raya, then again, we don't have a Raya from anywhere that a grandson gets it directly from the grandfather. He gets it through the father. If so, the Lekech should have a Taina. How could you take away from me something your father sold me, and yet it works? That's why this is the case of Davar Kasha. But right now, the Gemara is trying to say, I'm going to try to bring you a Raya that a grandson gets it directly from a grandfather, and the Lekech has no Taina. This nun, we learned in our Mishnah, Nafal Habayis Olav Val Aviv. If the house fell down on top of Reuven and his father Yaakov, and it killed them both, and we don't know who died first. Or Olav on Reuven Va'al Moy Rishav, and on those, on a person who would be Morish, would give a Yerusha to him, and we'll soon see what the exact case is. V'hoys Olav Ksubas Isha Ubal Choyv, and Reuven had a Ksubas Isha to pay, or he had a Bal Choyv to whom he owes a Chov, he owes a loan to. And now a machlokas breaks out between the Yorshei Ha'av and the Balchoyf. Yorshei Ha'av Oimrim Haben Meis Rishon V'Achkach Meis Av. So the Yorshei Ha'av, will soon see who the Yorshei Ha'av are. They say that Reuven died first. He's the Ben in this case, the son of Yaakov. V'achakach Meisav, and then Yaakov died. So it comes out that Reuven never had a Yerusha from Yaakov. U'balchoyv oimer, the Balchoyv says, Ha'av Meis Rishon. No, Yaakov died first. V'achakach Meisav Ben, and then Reuven died. So Reuven Yarshin from Yaakov. If Reuven Yarshin from Yaakov, I'm a Balchoyv, I'm able to get that. Reuven owed me money, so I'm able to get that property which Reuven inherited from Yaakov. So my love, the Gemara says, what are these two cases of the Yorshei Ha'av, and what's the second case, which we had, the second line of the Amud here, Olav Al Moirishav, which is, it fell on Reuven, and it fell on the one who would be Moiresh to Reuven, and now we're dealing with the Yorshim of the Mayrishav. So we're dealing, the first case of Olav Al Aviv, we're dealing with a fight between the Yorshei Ha'av and the Balchoyv. In the second case of Olav Al Mayrishav, we're dealing with a fight with the Yorshei of the Mayrishav and the Balchoyv. So now we have to figure out each case. So my love, Yorshei Ha'av B'ni. When we speak about the Yorshim of the father, we're speaking about Yaakov's Yorshim, and we're speaking about the son, meaning Chanoch. Chanoch is the son of the son, in our case, the Olav. Olav, he's the son, Reuven, of Yaakov. So now we have a fight between the Yorshei Ha'av and the Balchoyv. So who is the Yorshei Ha'av? B'ni means the son of the son, the grandson. He's saying that my father never inherited it from Yaakov, but rather I inherited it from Yaakov. You, Balchoyv, have no place here. My father never inherited anything from Yaakov. What's the case of Moirishav? Ache. The Moirishav will refer to Olav Al-Moirishav, Reuven, and his brother Shimon. If Shimon would die without children, so then he would be able to be more something to his brother Reuven. So he's the case, Moirishav refers to his, Reuven's brother. Again, who's the fight between? The fight's between Chanoich. Chanoich is the son of Reuven, and he is claiming that my father Reuven did not die after my uncle Shimon, but rather Reuven, my father, died first. And therefore I'm yarshening it straight from Shimon. So you, Balchoiv, who my father owed money to, cannot collect because my father never owned this property. He never yarshened it. He died before my uncle Shimon. So in the first case, Chanoich is saying, I get it directly from Yaakov. In the second case, Chanoich says, I get it directly from my father's Morishav, which would be my uncle Shimon. And my father never had any chelik in this property. So you, Balchoiv, or you, Ksubas Isha, have no taina to get this from my father. He never owned it. That would be the way that we're going to zetzain these two cases. Now I have a question to ask you. If you're going to say that Chanoch cannot say that he gets it directly from his grandfather Yaakov, as you just mentioned, is speaking only a bracha that tzaddikim will have, bonim and bnei bonim, that will inherit them, and has no halachic ramifications. So what is the whole dispute here? Ki meis haben, va'achar kach meis ha'av. If Reuven died first, and then Yaakov died, my havi. How does that help the case of Chanoch? Name alu balchoiv. Let the balchoiv say to Chanoch, Yerushas avuin koshakilna. I am taking the Yerusha of your father. Because even if your father died first, but how do you get it? You don't get it directly from Yaakov. You get it through your father Reuven. Oh, if your father Reuven had it for a moment, so then I have first claim. I'm a Balchoiv. So in other words, the fight over here is that the Balchoiv is saying that Yaakov died first and then Reuven. So Reuven yarshin from Yaakov. Chanoch is saying, no, Reuven, my father, died first, and then my grandfather, Yaakov. Why can't the Balchoiv say that even if your father died first, but you're not getting it from your grandfather, Yaakov, directly? You still have to go back to get it from your father, Reuven. And therefore, I have first claim before you. I'm a Balchoiv. I'm the Balchoiv who can claim this from your father, Reuven. So since we see that he cannot say that if in fact Reuven died first, then Chanoich has a right to the money, that's his claim. So we see clearly that it goes direct, just like in the second case. In the case of Moirishov, the nephew, the Marsha speaks this out, the nephew Chanoich says that my father died first and I get it directly now from Shimon, my uncle. So too in the first case. My father died first. I get it directly from my grandfather, Yaakov. But if you don't say you get it directly, then it doesn't help you that Reuven died first. Mamanashach, if Yaakov died first, for sure the Balchoiv will get it through Reuven, because Reuven yarshin from Yaakov. And even if Reuven died first, but again, Chanoich doesn't get it directly from Yaakov. He has to go through Reuven. So what's Chanoich's taina? So you see klar that Chanoich gets it directly from Yaakov. If he gets it directly from Yaakov, so then this can't be the Dover Kasha, because it makes sense. The Lekech has no taina. Your father sold it, and you're taking it away. Yes, I'm taking it away, because I get a Yerusha straight from Yaakov. This is what the Gemara wants to try to bring a proof that a grandson gets it directly from the grandfather. So the Gemara says, Loi, you, the cases that you said are incorrect. This is not the case. Yorshe Yoav, the case of Yorshe Yoav has nothing to do with Chanoich. And therefore you have no raya to your whole hypothesis that a grandson gets it directly from a grandfather. Maybe he doesn't get it directly from a grandfather. What's the case of Yorshir Av who are fighting with the Balchayv? That's speaking about Echav. What you said was Mayrishav is Achi. We're bumping them up to Yorshir Av. That's not the case of Olav Al Mayrishav on Reuven's brother Shimon. That's the case of Yorshir Av. And as the Rashbam says, in Divrei HaMasna Mishnah, Lo Yorshiav Echov, these are the brothers of Reuven, who says that Reuven died first, then Yaakov, his father, died, and therefore, Reuven's brother, Shimon, and other brothers say that we Yarshin everything from our father. And our brother Reuven has no chelik, because he died first, and he had no children. So now, certainly, they're not coming Mikoyach Reuven to Yarshin. They're Roy to Yarshin from Yaakov straight. So that's the case, that's what their time is, that Reuven, our brother, died first, and we're getting it, of course, everything straight from Yaakov, because Reuven never had a chelik in Yaakov, because Reuven died first, so Yehuda Bal Choyv can't get anything. That's our time. What's the case, the second case now? Now that we bumped up Achim from Moirishav, in the first pshat in the Gemara in the Havamina, we learned Mayrishav are the brothers. But now we say, no, Yorshir Av are the brothers. So now we have to change the case of Mayrishav as well. You know what that's speaking about? Mayrishav, says the Gemara, is Achidavua. That is the brothers of the father. So you have Reuven and his uncle, Yaakov, the father's brother, Esav, says the Rashbam. And the house fell down on Reuven and Esav. Why is he called the Mayrishav of Reuven? Because if Yaakov would die first, and then Esav would die without children, Reuven, his nephew, would be the one who would get the Yerusha from Esav. So Esav, in that sense, is considered a Mayrishav. He gives Yerusha to Reuven. So now we have Reuven and Esav, and Yaakov and Esav, let's say, have other brothers. So they're going to come in and say that Reuven died first, so he never had a chelik, he never had Esav's chelik that Yaakov the brother would inherit, because Reuven died first. If Esav died first and then Reuven, so all the brothers would split. Yaakov had previously perished, so his chelik would be given over to Reuven. Then Reuven would have a chelik in it. But since Reuven died first, so Yaakov and Reuven are out of the picture. Esav gave over everything to the living brothers. And therefore the Baal Choyv has no chelik in it. So if this is the pshat, that's what the Gemara says. Lo, Yorshir Av is Achiv, and Mayrishav is Achida Avua. So if this is the case, then you have no precedent that a grandson, we're not talking about a grandson according to this pshat, not talking about Chanoich at all. So you have no raya that he gets it direct. So I'll tell you, he doesn't get it direct from Yaakov. He gets it through Reuven. And therefore, this is the Dover Kasher Shabbat Mammon, that the Lekeach really Shatayna, your father sold it, and you're getting it because of your father. And now you want to take it away from me. And yet, says the Rashbam, that is the Psak Halacha. And in fact, all the cases that we had on Ahmed Aleph, the Halacha is like all those cases, including this case, which is the Kasher B'dini Mammonis. The halacha remains, even though we don't have a source to back up this difficult halacha. Continues the Gemara. Since we have been speaking about grandchildren, whether they get it directly from the grandfather or they get it through the father, now we're going to ask a similar question concerning a son yarshing from his mother. Rashbam gives the case of Yosef, the son of Rachel. So a son yarshens a mother. If the mother dies before the son, so the son yarshins, and then if the son dies, his yarshim, his brothers from the same father, even if there was a different mother, they would yarshin from him. There's no shiloh. The question is, what happens if the reverse happened? That Yosef died first, and then Rachel, his mother, died. That is going to be the question. Could Yosef, in the kever, be morishit to his brothers from their father Yaakov? Boy, my name Rav Sheshes. Ben, Mao she Yirish as Imoy Bekever. Can he, having preceded his mother Rachel, he died first. Can he yarshin once his mother dies in the kever? L'hanchel achin mina'av to be manchel to his brothers, Reuven and Shimon, achin mina'av in the kever. Amar lehu Rav Sheish. Rav Sheish responded, Tani too. We learned this in a brisa. Ha'av shenishba. If a father was brought into captivity and he died there, and we don't know exactly when he died. He died in captivity. Umeis binoy bin Medina, and his son died also in the home country. The Rashbam says Eretz Moladetoy, or uben shenishba, his son was captured and died in captivity. Umeis aviv bin Medina, and the father died in the Medina, and we don't know who, in both cases, who died first. And we have a machloikis between the Yorshir Av and the Yorshir Ben. So the din is yachloiku that they have to divide it. And the Gemara wants to know, hey, chidami, what's the case? Ilei mekidiktani, if you're going to say that Av means father and Ben means son, literally, so we don't understand. Hai ninu Yorshir Av, hai ninu Yorshir Ben, as the Rashbam explains. If the father and the son both did not have any other children, so then whoever would yarshin the father would yarshin the son. There's not, we're trying to find here two separate categories, two groupings called, one is called the yarshim of the father, and one is called the yarshim of the son. If the son had children, so those children would be yarshim of the father, and they'd be also yarshim of the grandfather. So what's the case where you could make two separate kittim, two separate groups of yarshim? El alav halchikamer. This must be the case. Av shenishba umeis ben bitoy b'medina. A father was captured and he died in captivity. And not his son, but rather his grandson. The son of his daughter died in the Medina. Or uben, and the Bach takes out the word bitoy. Uben shenishba, or a son was in captivity and died in captivity. Umeis, not his father, but meis avi imoy b'medina. His grandfather, his mother's father, died in the Medina. V'lo yadin ha'imenai meis parisha. We don't know which one died first. So there's here there's a dispute. And yorshei av, yorshei ben, yachloiku. So now, in fact, we have two separate groups of yorshei. And let's give some names to these Yarshim. We have the father Yaakov, and he has a daughter Dina, and he has also, Dina has brothers, Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven and Shimon are considered the Yarshim, but Yerusha always goes through the male. So Yaakov's Yarshim are considered his sons, the brothers of the mother Dina, which are Reuven and Shimon. Now, Dina was married, let's say, to David. She had a son, Yoinason. And David, the husband, had, let's say, Shmuel and Shlaima were brothers from another wife. So it comes out that Yoinason is a brother from the same father to Shmuel and Shlaima. So now, in this case, we have two distinct groups of Yarshim. We have Reuven and Shimon there, the Yarshim of the grandfather, the mother's father, Yaakov. And we have Shmuel and Shloima, who are the Yarshim HaBen, the brothers through the father, David, to their half-brother, Yonason. And now it makes a big difference who died first. If the Yaakov, the grandfather, died first, so Yonason would, through his mother, would have a chelik in Yaakov's property. If, on the other hand, Yonason died first, so then the Yarshe HaBen, Shmuel and Shlomo, would have nothing to do with Yaakov's property because Yonason, their half-brother, died first. So then it would go all to the Yarshe HaAv, Reuven and Shimon, the brothers of Dina, the mother. So now the din is Yachloku. But ve'im Isa, if you're going to say that a mother can, a son can yarshin his mother bekever to give it over to the brothers of which come through their same father, Nehein Nami Deben Meis Bereisha. Even if we're speaking, even if the Yorshei Ha'av are correct that the son died first, Lirse Lavu Adime Bekivre. Why don't we say that subsequently, when Dina will die, so then the son Yonason will Yarshin in the kever, and then he'll be able to give it over to the Yorshei Aben, which are Shmuel and Shlaima. Elolav Shmam, you know, must be, if we say that there's Yachloiku, because we don't know who died first, did Yaakov die first, or did Yonason die first? But we don't say that even if Yonason died first, Yonason should still get it from his mother Dina to give it over to the Yorshei Aben, Shmuel and Shlaima. We don't say that. If Yonason died first, then they have no claim on this property whatsoever. Since we say that fact, so it's clear from here, Shmamina Eina Ben Yarshasim Bekever Lahanchal Achel Miav, that you don't say that the son Yarshas his mother in the Kever to give it over to the brothers of the father. And if the case is that Yonason died first, in fact, it would go to the Yarshav. We don't know who died first, so we say Yachloiku. We learned like this also in a previous mission on Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis. Nafal Abayis Olav Al Imoy. If the house fell down on him and his mother, and now we have two groups of Yorshim. We have the mother's Yorshim, Yorshei Aim. We have the son's Yorshim, which are the brothers from the same father. So the halacha is that Elu ve'Elu, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Moidim Shachloiku. Here there's no machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They're both Moida, that the din is Yachloiku. Ve'im Isa. And if you're going to say that a ben could be Yarshin his mother Bekever, to give it over to the brothers from the father, Nehein Nami de ben Meis Bereisha, even if the case was that the son died first, that wouldn't make a difference. Why does the Yarshei Ha'ben, why do the brothers from the father who Yarshin this son, why do they lose out if that was the case? Lirsa Limi Bekivre, let him inherit from his mother in the kever, Velirsa Inu Lachi Me'avu, and then let him be Morishit, let him give it over to his brothers from the same father. And we don't say that. We say, in fact, that if he died first, they lose any claim. It's only we have a suffix, so we say Yachloiku. Elalav Shmamino, from here we prove that Eina Ben Yairish Hashim Bekev Lahanchal Achamina Av, that the son is not able, and therefore, in fact, if he died first, they would not get it. They can only get it if the mother died first. But if the son died first, they would lose all claim to it. Shmamino, we see that the son has no ability to Yarshin from his mother Bekever to give it over to his brothers from the father. And now the Gemara wants no time of mind. What, in fact, is the reason why don't we say that he Yarshins Bekever? Amar Abaya. So Abaya answers, because we have two psukim. We have one pasuk which says, V'loi sisoiv nachlo levnei Yisrael mimata elmata. We have a similar pasuk which says, V'loi sisoiv nachlo mimata lamata acher. And the Gemara learned before, and Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis, that the first pasuk is speaking about from a son yarshning from a mother. The second pasuk is speaking about a husband from a wife. Namra siva beben, v'namra siva bebal. So ma siva, when you're transferring from ha'amur bebal, which is said in connection with the husband, ein abal yarshes ishta bekever. The case is where there is a father who has an only daughter who's married to this man. And if the father would die, he would give it over to his daughter, and she would subsequently be morished that to her husband. Here it's speaking about where the daughter, the single daughter, there were no other children, she died before the father. So subsequently, when the father-in-law dies, we don't say that his daughter yarshins it in the kever, in the grave, to give it over to her husband. So just like we have that halacha, so too, with the second siva, the second transference, av siva, ha'amura beben, the one that's referring to a son from his mother, eina ben yarsha sima bekever lahan chalachim and av, the son does not yarsha from his mother in the kever to give it over to the brothers from the father. The Rashbam points out that even though we're using siva siva, but there's a big difference. In the first case, it is the husband who doesn't get it from his deceased wife. In the second case, it's not his wife who's in the kever, but it's the son himself who's in the kever. He's not able to give it over to the brothers of the father. But still, the bottom line is that in the first case, the wife doesn't give it over to her husband. In the second case, the son in the kever does not give it over to his brothers, and therefore we make this comparison between one and the other, one siva and the other, and therefore the halacha remains that eina ben yorshes yima bekever lahan kol achan min ha'av. And now we're bringing down a gemara which we learned before verbatim on daf chavtes amid beis going to daf lamed amid aleph, and both the Rashbam and Tosfos wonder why, in fact, are we bringing this down? We learned it before in the same Masechta. So the Rashbam says, the last words in the Perek here in the Rashbam, Agav Grora, the Mayri Masnisen, Ben Achasim Echaskasim Nakalehak. Since we had a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about various Nechasim in whose Chazaka they are, so we brought these cases as well. But Tosfos says the same thing, the bottom Tosfos on the Amud. But then Tosfos winds it up three lines before the end of Tosfos. Teimahi. Tosfos says it's a pella that in the same Masechta we bring down this Gemara two times exactly the same. Perhaps with Derech Drush we can answer Tosfos by saying that we're holding here right in the end of this Perek. We're about to say Hadron Aloch Mishameis, which means we will go back to you Mishameis, meaning we'll review you. And perhaps the Gemara wants to point out we're exactly 130 dafim from where the sugya begins there in Ches Tabatim and Daf Chof Tesamid Beis. And when we learn this Gemara, it's possible that many of us look at it like a Gemara that we've had eons ago. And the Gemara says, you know, it's time for Chazara. Let's review the Gemara. Just like we're reviewing this Gemara, perhaps in order to hold on to the Masechta, we need to have a Hadron Aloch. We need to Chazer and Chazer and Chazer. Otherwise, the Gemara will look as if it's something that we're learning for the first time. Continues the Gemara. Hahud Amle L'Chavrei. Somebody said to his friend, Nichsei de Bar Sisson Mizavnin Aloch. I'm selling you the property that was known as Bar Sisson's property. Havi Chada Arad, Havi Mikri de Bar Sisson. There was one piece of property that was called the property of Bar Sisson. It was called like that. Even though it's called it's known as Bar Sisson, but it's really not the property that originally was owned by Bar Sisson, and I did not mean to include that in the sale. So we had a dispute here between the Lekech and the Meicher. So Rav Nachman awarded this disputed piece of property into the hands of the Lekech. Is that the din that it should go to Lekeach? We know that you have to bring a proof that it's yours. Who's the muchzik on this property? The muchzik on the property is the mocher. So the Lekeach should have to prove that it is considered a part of the property of Bar Sisson. V'rami the Rav at the Rav Nachman. This exchange that we just had between Rav and Rav Nachman brings us to a stira both in Rav and in Rav Nachman. This was the Gemara before on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis. A person came over to his friend and said, my boy's by Beis, what are you doing in my house? I bought it from you. I don't have a shtar. Why? I was here. I lived here peacefully for 3 years. Nobody protested. So I don't need a shtar because I have a chazaka. You don't have a chazaka. I was living in the inner rooms. And when I went out of my inner room to get to the outside, I passed through your rooms. So my going through your outer rooms was my way of protesting that this is not your property. It's still my property. They came with this dispute in front of Rav Nachman. He said to Lekech, you go and show that this person never lived here in the inner rooms for 3 years. That will validate your chazaka, then you'll get it. If you're not able to do that, then it remains with the mocher. Amalei Rav Nachman. So on that, Rav said to Rav Nachman, Dino Achi, is that the Allah of the Lekech has to prove it? He's been there for 3 years. He's considered the muchzik now. Let the mocher prove it. Why does Lekech have to prove it? So now, based on this, we have Kasha to Rav out of Rav, to Rav Nachman out of Rav Nachman. We have a stira in Rav and a stira in Rav Nachman. Because in the case of Bar Sisson, so Rav Nachman said that it belongs to the lekeach. In the case of Shchuni Gaboy, he said the muchzik is the meicher. And according to Rav, it was just the opposite. In the case of Bar Sisan, he said it goes to the meicher. The lekeach is hamoitz mechaver al v'raya. And in the case of Shchuni Gaboy, he said that it goes to the lekeach. And the meicher is the hamoitz mechaver al v'raya. So you have a stira both in Rav and in Rav Nachman. So the Gemara answers, the Rav, at a Rav Leikashi, it's not a stira, hacha, meicher, koi ben nichse. Here, in Bar Sisan, so the meicher is in his property. The lekeach is coming to the meicher and saying, give me this also is considered part of the sale. So therefore, Rav said, hamaitz meicher el v'raya. If the meicher is sitting on this property, and lekeach is trying to get it away from him, lekeach has to bring the proof. Hoss him over there by the case of Shchuni Gavoy. Lekeach koy ben echse. The lekeach is in the property. He says, I've been here for 3 years. So therefore, the Rava felt that the meicher is the meitz mechaveri from the lekeach who's considered the mochzik. The Rav Nachman or Rav Nachman lekeach, it's also not a stira. Hacha, over here in the case of Bar Sisan, kiven d'amalei bei Bar Sisan, since he said, I'm selling to you the property of Bar Sisan. Umikri de bei Bar Sisan. And it's known by everybody, this property, this dispute piece of property is known as Bar Sisan. Olay today, Rami Ligli Lav Bar Sisan. Then we say the loikeach's in the right, and the meicher would have to prove, even though the meicher is sitting on it, but based on the terms of the agreement, it seems the loikeach is correct, and therefore the meicher has to prove that it's not considered the Bay Bar Sisan. He, and here the Bachas Gar is Hossam. Over there in the case of Shchuni Gavoi, loyehe el de Nakat Shtara. As we've learned before in the Masechta, that a shtar, a chazaka, is b'mekayim a shtar. It's not better than a shtar. What would be if the lekeach would have a shtar, milam rinulei, kim shtarach, v'kom benichse? Wouldn't we tell him, if the shtar was disputed, we would say, go and validate your shtar, and only then stand in possession of your nechasim. So the same thing here, where you have a chazaka, and the other person is disputing the chazaka by saying, I lived in the inner rooms and you have no chazaka, so just like you have to validate a shtar, you would have to validate the chazaka as well, and therefore in this case Rav Nachman felt that it goes to the meicher until the lekeach can validate his chazaka. So it's no stira in Rava, he has his svaras, and it's no stira in Rav Nachman, he has his svaras, and there is no stira between the two cases. And in fact, for all those who have finished this perek, hadrin alach misha meis, Hadron Aloch Misha Meis, we will review, we will come back to Misha Meis, we won't leave it and forget it, and we will, hopefully the whole Masechta and the whole Shas the same way, Hadron Aloch Misha Meis.